This is an interview with Vern Cook at his office in Gresham, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is 4/18/95, and this is tape 14, side 1. What else were you involved in the 1974 period?
Well, after I failed to win a nomination to Congress, I became interested in a campaign that had been started by the Northwest Steelheaders and other conservation groups to make steelhead a game fish. What had happened up until then, the commercial fishing interests in the river had, in their netting, were accused of having done, and I suspect they had, were not supposed to be netting steelhead, but they had been going after and netting a lot of steelhead, and the fishermen of the Oregon were concerned about that. And so they had started an initiative drive to get the signatures to put it on the ballot. It hadn't got very far. And so when I indicated an interest, the board that was handling this operation and welcomed me to their body, a small group of 10 or 15 people coordinating this effort. And then they were lucky to find a guy, and I think his name was Bill Darby, and his wife. I think they both died probably of emphysema since then. They were big smokers, but the problem they were having was that they didn't have a good coordinator, and Bill Darby and his wife took over the coordination and did a magnificent job in getting volunteer petition circulators out and got them signed, got the signatures that were necessary to put this measure on the ballot. I was on this board, and I can't think of its name of the board they called it now, but one of the things that I had learned in one of my 1970 congressional campaign was something about how to raise money. I never been able to raise much for myself, but we put together a plan there. It was my brainchild, actually, of sending out solicitations to all of the conservationist organizations asking for money, and to repeating the solicitation over and over and over again, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 mailings to the same groups, which I'd heard was the way to raise money at this Washington, D.C. meeting I attended, and it worked. We raised, for those days, nowadays it wouldn't sound like much, but we raised $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, which was a lot of money for the proponents of a people issue, for which there's no big special interest in favor of. We raised a lot of money. Also, again, while I frankly think I had as much to do with the direction of this campaign as anyone, and more than most, we decided that in the interest of getting the greatest possible widespread public support, to invite, I guess it would have been Straub governor then, or
74,
to invite Straub.
Well, he was running for governor.
Running for governor, to invite Straub and McCall to be co-chairman of the drive in support of this measure. And I remember helping, and we organized this great big meeting, and they were the guys, and they got all the glamour and all the spotlight. But that was the idea, and they got a lot of publicity for us. And so there were other things we did, and the bottom line was it was a very successful campaign in every way, and the measure passed. And I was involved in that as an important participant.
Did it pass by a large margin?
Pretty good margin, I think, yeah. I think it's there where I met Tom Peterson, who later helped me when I ran against Hatfield and a few other people.
Well, that must have been rewarding for you to have.
I felt good success. About it. Matter of fact, I have a thing at home. I think it shows me the Sportsman of the Year or something or other, the Conservationist of the Year. I'm sure that's one of the things that got me that designation by the Northwest Steelheaders.
Was there anything else that happened during this time?
74, I don't remember anything else in particular.
Sounds like a pretty busy year, actually.
Yeah, it really was.
Well, should we go on to the 75
sure,
section then?
Sure, why not? Which, about which at the moment, I don't remember much. Maybe you'll remind me.
Okay. It was the 58th Assembly. It ran from January 13th to June 14th, which is actually fairly early term compared to the previous one. Which
June 14th, yeah.
Was in July when it finished the previous one. In the House, there were 38 Democrats and 22 Republicans, and in the Senate, 22 Democrats and 7 Republicans and 1 Independent. Do you know who that would have been?
In the House?
In the Senate.
I don't remember.
And the House leadership was Phil Lang, with Roger Martin as Minority Leader, and the Senate President was Jason Bowe again, with Minority Leader being Vic Atiyah, and Cecil Edwards was Secretary. I don't know if we've talked about Cecil Edwards or not, but what was your impression of him?
Oh, he's a nice guy. I talked to him not too long ago about this one bill I'm interested in the legislature. Cecil Edwards was a guy who always managed to be on the winning side and always had a job working for the Senate, and a political job of one kind or another. I don't know if he ever held any job other than a political job of some kind.
The election gave Bob Straub the governorship, and the Secretary of State was Norma Paulus. Jim Redden was the Attorney General, and Clay Myers was Treasurer. Clay Myers had been Secretary of State, hadn't he? Do you know why he made that move?
I don't remember why he did that.
Your committee assignments were revenue, in which you chaired, and Wingard was vice chair on that, Atiyah, Lang, Ripper, Frank Roberts, and Whipple, and also permanent organization and order of business. It was a special committee in which you also chaired that. Burbage and Meeker were on that. And Consumer and Business Affairs with Betty Roberts, Jernstedt, Betty Brown, Burbage, Howard, Powell, and Smith, and Judiciary, again, with Betty Brown as chair, Walt Brown, and Carson Cook, Fadley, and Roberts and Smith. What was the permanent organization and order of business special committee about?
I wonder if you'd ask me that. I don't remember. Probably a formality committee that was only had one purpose when they first organized the Senate, I would guess.
And revenue, was there a big...
I don't remember any major legislation in 75, unless we brought the timber bills back in, and that may have come in 77, I'm not sure now. I don't remember anything particular, unless it was the timber tax.
Well, maybe some things will come back when we go through some of the legislation here. You sponsored a number of bills, and a number of them were signed into law. One was regarding the PERS system, the Public Employment Retirement System, Senate Bill 351, and the governor signed that. Also, you were a sponsor of a bill regarding the Columbia River Compact, which the governor signed, and another one regarding Indians that the governor signed. Do any of these ring bells?
You don't ring any particular. Okay. I must not have been the principal sponsor. That was probably one of them.
No, these were. You were along with a number of other people, but there were some other ones here that you were sole sponsor of. There was another bill that you supported that was by Special Committee on Aging that the governor signed, and a bill that was supported by Senators Hurd, Cook, and Representatives Otto and Sumner regarding the reorganization of state government, including but not limited to the establishment of a state fish Department of Fish and Wildlife that the governor signed.
I don't remember anything about that in particular.
There was a bill with Fadley, Howard, and Jernstedt, and representatives regarding striped bass. Could that have been involved at all in your, you know, or connected somehow to your activities for the steelhead?
It might have been involved in my interest in fishing and sports mm-hmm. things, but I don't remember anything about the bill.
You were the sole sponsor of a bill regarding contributing negligence?
Yeah, that was a bill. It was a 50-50 bill. It was a very important bill. The comparative negligence had been adopted previously in Oregon. It used to be contributory negligence. The difference between that is under contributory negligence, anytime anyone sued anyone and were in the slightest degree negligent, they were totally denied any recovery. Hmm. Comparative negligence is a maritime concept and where the negligence would be divided between the parties. And in pure maritime law, it was pure. And so if you were one, the other guy, it was two, was one-third at fault, and you were two-thirds at fault, you'd recover one-third of your loss. Mm-hmm. The Oregon version, though, provided that when first passed, that before a plaintiff could recover, the defendant had to be 51% at fault. Well, they found that what happened was that many people, the jurors, would say, oh, well, that's 50-50. Well, 50-50, you lose, was the way the law was until this bill was introduced and passed. And 50-50 now is 50-50. If it's 50-50, you recover half and lose half. So it was very important with that one percentage point. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm sure it's had an important statewide effect ever since. It's still the law.
That must have did a lot to change legal suits in this
state. I'm sure it affected the change of a lot of money from the insurance industry to the private claimant. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, I virtually always had support of the trial lawyers. I was a lawyer and I tried some cases. I never could claim that I was a specialist in personal injury law, although I always usually belonged to the organizations and favored the rights of people to recover for their injuries. Mm-hmm. So it was something that further guaranteed my support from that segment of the population.
Mm-hmm. You are also the sole sponsor of Senate Bill 844, which was regarding initiative and referendum arguments. Is this something that we had already talked about the length of the arguments and in the voters' pamphlet?
I wonder if that's when we repealed what the League of Women Voters did. That's possible.
This bill was left in committee.
Oh, I don't remember then. I don't know what it did.
You were also sole sponsor of two other bills, 848 and 849, regarding actions for damages resulting from tobacco-related diseases. That was left in committee.
Yeah, I probably favored it. I'm sure I did.
Do you know what you were trying to accomplish with these bills?
Probably what's about to be accomplished now by the courts, which was to give to smokers the right to sue the tobacco companies. Mm-hmm. I think that probably was what it was.
Huh. And you were also the sole sponsor of a Senate joint memorializing Congress to modify Indian treaties to extend equal fishing rights to Indians and non-Indians. This is something we've already touched upon.
Yeah.
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 In this case, it was left in
committee.
In committee. There was another Senate joint resolution, number 14, with other people that you sponsored, amending the Oregon Constitution upon voter approval to extend veteran loan privileges to persons who are conscientious objectors.
I may have. I don't remember. Yeah.
I feel like I just have to ask you about these things, even if you don't really remember them all.
Yeah.
You were the sole sponsor of Senate Joint Resolution number 23 to extend veteran loan privileges to Oregon veterans for service after January 31st, 1960.
Yeah, I always favored the broadest possible scope of the veterans' loan privileges, and I imagine those conscientious objectors were those that served, but probably in non-combat roles. Wouldn't have extended veterans' benefits to conscientious objectors who never entered the service. I'm sure that was never my intent. So I think these conscientious objectors were probably those that went in non-combat capacities, which is, as it turns out, often more dangerous than the combat roles.
Right.
Because ambulance carriers and so on.
Right, exactly, yeah. There is a Senate Joint Resolution to extend veteran home and farm loan to certain residents and disabled veterans.
I always supported that against the opposition. Dave Burrows, who's still down there, I don't know if he still represents the savings and loan industry, if he has other clients, but the new lawyer here, incidentally, one of her buddies, works for Dave Burrows now. He was always carrying the ball for the private savings and loan group, and they always wanted to put the Veterans Loan Administration out of business.
Why?
Because they wanted to make all the loans. They didn't want any competition from the veterans' loans. Simple.
There was a Senate joint resolution amending the Oregon Constitution, subject to voter approval, to prohibit denial or abridgment of equality of right under law because of sex.
I undoubtedly supported that.
And there were other bills that you supported on commercial fishing, motorcycle laws, and things like that.
Was that the other? We brought about the repeal of the helmet law. Maybe that was the session. I worked with all the motorbike riders, and we repealed it. And then later on, they reenacted it.
Mm-hmm.
And they made my office or the headquarters for the repeal effort. We succeeded, and it got repealed.
Right. That's sort of your feeling about, again, about people's right to...
Yeah, the right to choose their own form of suicide.
Uh-huh.
If they if they want to drive with a helmet or without a helmet, that ought to be their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt then, and I think it's probably still true, if I rode a motorbike, which I don't, I would probably wear a helmet just like I wear a seatbelt now. I still think a person ought to have the right not to have a seatbelt and not to wear a helmet,
mm-hmm.
because their choice to wear a seatbelt or a helmet may be the helmet, may be the cause of their death. Why shouldn't you choose your own brand of poison?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you must have felt fairly passionate about it, or you wouldn't have been so behind that campaign.
Well, I believe in individual liberty over things that are essentially private, and I suppose it's the same reason why I would support the right of gays to, and gay and lesbians to engage in homosexual conduct. I don't figure that it's any of my real concern, and if they want to do that, that's up to them. I don't give a damn, and I don't think it's really my role to decide that. It's a private right, as that ought to be. But then we're always, you see, in this, always getting into this situation where you're going to protect everybody whether they want to be protected or not, and there are limits to that. There should be.
Right. Well, going to some of the other issues, in the 58th legislature, there was a 1 cent gas tax hike that passed. Governor Straub wanted a 2 cent hike. It was for highway repair and construction, but it was eventually rejected by the voters.
Mm-hmm.
What were your relations with Governor Straub like in general?
Well, they weren't very close. I had originally been a friend of his, and I think back, and I felt that he had not reciprocated, and so while I probably supported him in most things, by the time he became governor, we were not close, and I didn't feel he was really much of a friend.
What about with his staff?
Oh, I don't think I had any problem with his staff, nor did I really have much of a problem with him.
Mm-hmm.
I just never had much to do with him one way or another.
Do you think that was part of his problem? And maybe not
Maybe not just that. May have been that he didn't seem to develop, he didn't follow through, and he didn't maintain the loyalty of persons that had helped him. Yeah, I think that was a problem with him. He just felt, why worry about whether he got elected or not? I mean, he wasn't helping you in the things you were interested in. I mean, I've run into this before. I've always been a Democrat, and I believe in a certain set of beliefs that are usually those of Democrats. But I don't feel that being a Democrat is the equivalent, for example, of being a Muslim or a Christian. I mean, I don't think that there's anything holy or sacred about it.
Some people might consider it their religion.
Yeah, there are people that almost consider it as a religion, particularly in the activist group. Our governor, right or wrong. And I know I have grave reservations about Kitzhaber. I don't know how he's going to act. I want to wait and see. I mean, I don't have any confidence that he's necessarily going to go the right way. Maybe he'll be like a lot of other people that have had bad records in the past, and maybe he'll come out with a good liberal democratic record. I hope he will, but I don't know if he will. Just because he's a Democrat doesn't mean he's going to be a great governor. And any more than just because someone is a Republican is going to mean he's going to be a terrible governor.
The legislature approved a 3-year field burning extension. Neither side was happy about it. And they were hoping that it would only be 50,000 acres after 1977 if approved. But that's always been a controversial issue in Willamette Valley, hasn't it?
Well, it has. And I took... I often was not with the wind guard and the anti-field burning. I was somewhat sympathetic with the farmers who wanted to burn their crops. And I remember Fadley later claimed we were bought out by the seed growers, but seed growers down around Harrisburg offered legislators and their families an opportunity to become acquainted with a real honest-to-God seed grower, and so my wife and our children who were born then, I don't think they were all born yet, and maybe they were, it was 75?
75, yeah.
Yeah, all but one. There was one hadn't been born yet. And so we took it up, and we went down and spent a couple of nights on this farmer's land, and they showed us the way around, and they explained to us the reason for why they were doing it, why it was important to burn the fields. And there's a, I got one of my favorite in my library of humorous anecdotes. I got a good one there. And the, we were talking one day about the various reasons why the farmer burnt the fields. And he said, well, one of the reasons, of course, is that you want to get rid of all the waste. And then another reason is that sometimes when you burn it, well, you kill the diseases that would ordinarily kill the grass. And he said there's another interesting side effect is when you burn these perennial fields, you find that the plant often responds vigorously to the burn. It's like the grass felt, my God, there's something is threatening our existence and we better respond. Which explains why old men become horny.
Where did you stay when you were down there? You said you spent a couple nights
there. We stayed with
this
farmer's, maybe it was only one night. I remember we were there Saturday night. I don't know if we were there Friday or not. Mm-hmm. And I think we went to church with him the next day. We stayed in their bedroom, and they fed us. You know, I mean, we had probably hot cakes. I don't know what we had. It was just ordinary farm food, like you'd feed anybody else that came to visit you for a weekend.
How many people were doing that?
I was a whole, probably they were with the Farm Bureau. My guess is that that was an operation of the farmers in that area, probably offered the same visit to any member of the legislature who was willing to come down. And I don't know how many others did it. I don't have any recollection. I didn't figure we're being bought out. I thought it was a good learning experience, and it was pleasant, and the family and the kids. I remember the kids rode a three-wheeled rig they had out there and rode it around, you know, one of these, you know, like they'd ride a merry-go-round. They just rode it, and it was one of these little carts. They had a cart. The kids rode back and forth and got a big kick out of it, I remember. And we talked, and it was interesting discussion. These people were not ideological. I mean, they were not. We didn't discuss socialism and capitalism and all that sort of thing. I'm from a farmer background, probably discussed farming. I was born on a farm, and my father was a farmer. My mother lived on a farm. I mean, I've been around farms the first part of my life, and so I felt a certain kinship to them, you know.
There was also a measure to toughen parole restrictions on murderers, which failed to pass, even though two conference committees were set upon the issue. They couldn't reach agreement. Capital punishment was an issue this session because of the Marquette murder. Do you recall any of the debate on this?
Not offhand. Did it come to the floor? Was it defeated, or did it even get to the floor?
Well, it said it failed to pass, and I don't know if that meant in committee or on the floor.
I don't remember either.
There was a bill to increase unemployment benefits, 5%, which lost.
I probably supported it.
And two bills to increase workmen's compensation benefits were abandoned in order to attain adjournment.
Who knows? I don't know about it.
Oh, and then there was a bill that passed that prohibits the sale of aerosols containing fluorocarbons, which scientists said at the time may threaten ultraviolet ray shielding ozone layer.
Was that Walt Brown's bill?
It doesn't say here, but this is the first time. And in fact, wasn't this the first state that passed restrictions on ozone?
It may have been. And there's been a controversy.
Products?
There's been a certain amount of controversy as to whether it's effective or not, and whether it's good legislation. I don't really know myself.
Yeah. Also, a massive new traffic code was enacted. And a bill passed which lowered penalties for transporting marijuana to a maximum $100 fine.
I probably supported both of those, and I remember the one on rules, if that was the one, that Carson was on the committee. It was on the Judiciary Committee. And it did rewrite the rules of the road, pretty much. It was probably overall good legislation.
There was a $35 million building projects bill that passed. Color photographs on driver's license passed.
I imagine I opposed it because that was nothing more than a 3M bill, and I'm sure they contributed a lot of money to the legislators to get that damn thing passed. It was not for the public benefit. They tried to claim it was. It was just purely a bill designed to enrich 3M, which manufactured them.
Were they lobbying for this bill?
Of course. Sure, it was a big lobby effort.
Wouldn't that be fairly transparent?
So to speak? It was transparent, but they got the votes and did it anyhow. Yeah, it was no secret. Shows the power that money can have at times. Excuse me just a second here.
Sure.